Welcome to The Word at First Pres. The sermon you're about to hear is not part of a regular sermon series. It stands on its own and can be instructive to our Christian faith in its own way, even though it's not linked to other sermons. I hope you enjoy.
Our first scripture reading is Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 6 and 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan and this your people into the land that I'm giving to them, to the Israelites. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon as far as the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, the great sea of the west shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put the people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is wherever you go." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The next scripture reading is from Matthew 16, 24 to 26. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Before I preach this morning, I wanted to speak about what is happening in Ukraine right now. Now, as you'll hear in my sermon, I already changed what I was preaching on this past week before all of this went down and Russia invaded Ukraine. I thought about changing it again, but I didn't. Partially because I didn't really know what to say. How can I, a pastor of a church in Arlington Heights, preach to you, people who live in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, and give you a good word about what we should do in the face of this atrocity, other than pray? I definitely couldn't make a whole sermon about it. Because honestly, here is what I have to say. It's evil. War is evil. And those who gladly cause suffering and pain for their own selfish gain are practicing and inflicting evil upon the world. Now, I've heard several people over the past few days say that they're actually in support of what Russia is doing. Several Americans who claim to love freedom and claim Jesus as their Lord are saying that they are in support of a dictator who imprisons his own people for protesting, poisons his opposition, invades sovereign nations, kills civilians, and much more. If you can honestly say that you support Russia in this effort, and you claim that Christ is your Lord, then you might want to go back and read up a little about who this Jesus is. I'm appalled at the level of cognitive dissonance that we have been able to get to in this country. It reminds me of a time when I learned in school that when Adolf Hitler was coming to power and the Nazis invaded Poland, how there were American citizens, Christians, who supported him. And I thought, how? How could anyone support such a man, such a terrible goal, such an anti-Christian thing? And yet, here we are. A dictator invading another country, killing those in his way as he seeks more and more power. And some American Christians letting their voices be heard in support of it. What a terrible, horrible shame. What a massive disappointment to those who believe in the goodness of humanity, including God. Right now, all we can do is pray and maybe research organizations who might be on the ground and donate to them. But my prayer is that this country would stop our infighting and division for a moment, just long enough to see that just because someone on our team said that they're in support of something, or someone on the other team said that they're against something, doesn't mean that we have to pick up that cause and run with it. We can see a human crisis for what it is. We can see lives being lost in the name of greed and power for what it is. We can see this act of war for what it is. And we can stand up united and say that this is horrible and call on those who can do something about it to do something about it. That's all I really have to say on that subject. And now I'm going to do a sermon that has And now I'm going to transition into a sermon that has a completely different feel than what I just said. You know what? I don't really write my sermons too far in advance, is how I legitimately started this sermon. Partially because, by nature, I am a procrastinator. But mostly, I get worried about exactly what would happen this week if I planned too far in advance. You see, we pastors have a phrase for when we procrastinate. It's called letting the Spirit lead you, or giving room for the Spirit to move. But this past Sunday, when I had already written about 90% of my sermon I was planning to give, today the Spirit did move. And it moved me in a completely different direction than my sermon was going. I had such a great plan, too. I was going to talk about education and books being banned and CRT and how all of this is really about what we're leaving the next generation equipped with. And then I was going to transition that into both Confirmation Sunday and Transfiguration Sunday, because today is both, which I was going to call Transfiguration Sunday. And then I heard Ken preach. And much like he started his sermon explaining how he was moved by the children and the youth on Children and Youth Sunday the week before, I too was moved by his sermon to preach something different. So here we go. I am super excited that you youth have finished your confirmation process and decided to join the church. It is something that many of you have been thinking about for at least the past 3 years. But I wanted to take this time to practically lay out for you what exactly you were signing up for. Because I know we talked about it in class, but that was all, can you say yes to these questions, or do you believe these core tenets? But really, what you're signing up for is community. Now, I don't mean what you can get from the community, but instead what you can give or add to the community. Last week, Ken spoke of an amazing example of this. Judy's been away for the past 3 months on medical leave, and the outpouring of love and support that this community has shown her and Ken has been amazing, he says. Ken got up here and expressed so much gratitude for that, of which I'm sure Judy will echo when she comes back in just a couple of days, which is very exciting. I can say that I too have felt this community's love and support. A year and a half ago, when I went into the hospital with pulmonary embolisms that I didn't know I had, which caused the right side of my heart to be in 90% failure, I felt this community surround me. The staff pick up my slack, the cards, the calls, the texts, the meals that showed up, and the ones offered that I had to decline because my refrigerator was already so full. Just these past few months as well, as my wife dealt with the death of her father and then her grandmother, and I got COVID in the middle of that. This community showed up, surrounded her and me with so much love and support. Again, cards and calls and texts, some of you actually showing up at Jerry's wake. Being a community that surrounds and comforts one another in times of deep grief and sorrow. That is what we are at our best. But we are not always at our best. I had to really sit and think and wrestle with some deep truths this week. Because for every story like Judy's and mine, I've heard stories from people who are leaving the church. People who felt left out or abandoned. People who went through a hard time and didn't feel the community rise up around them. People who had hard conversations with me about how pastoral support isn't enough when it's only really the pastors who are checking in. I think it's easier to notice when I am not here or when Judy is not here, but it's much more difficult to notice when for a couple of weeks, the person usually three pews behind you isn't here. We may hear someone raise a prayer or see a name added to the prayer list, but it might not have the same effect on us as when we see the absence of the person up front. We've all felt forgotten before. We've all felt left out before. But the church should never be the place where that feeling happens. The church should be the place where the theme song from Cheers is true. Now, for those of you who are too young to know or too old to remember, Cheers was a sitcom that ran for 12 years in the early 80s to the early 90s. And the theme song went a little bit like this. Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Bam, 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 bam. And they're always glad you came. Bam, bam, bam. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Bam, 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 bam. The piano part's very And now I don't need to sign up for the talent show. The world is hard. It's tough out there. Coming to church should feel like the middle of the chorus of that song, which I'm going to put in different words so I don't break out into song again. You want to be somewhere where you're seen, where you're recognized and welcomed, where people are happy that you're there. That sounds like an amazing place to have in your life. But here comes that other shoe drop. Places like that don't just happen. Places like that are created through caring attention and intention. We cannot just show up and reap the benefits of a space like that. We have to come in and be part of the creation of a space like that. Taking the time to get to know others. Reaching out when we see them missing, noticing when someone new is here and speaking with them, putting in genuine effort to get to know one another. You have to create the space for the community in your heart before that community can exist out here. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes practice. Now, whenever I think of the word practice, I think of this clip of Allen Iverson from the early 2000s. Yes, young people, I am old. I've made an 80s, 90s, and 2000s reference in the first four pages of my sermon. Let's just roll the clip.
But we talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice? We're talking about practice, man. We're talking about practice. We're talking about practice. We ain't talking about the game. We're talking about practice, man.
I love that clip so much. For those of you who might not know, Allen Iverson was an all-star basketball player from the late 90s to the early 2000s. And here, he was being grilled by the media because he missed practice. This clip went viral, so much so that 15 years later, the show Ted Lasso paid homage to it. But to go against the tone of Allen Iverson today, we're going to talk about practice and how important it is. Today, we're going to talk about practice, man. This community isn't just where you should be able to come and be surrounded by love and support, but because of that love and support, you get to practice the hard stuff that Jesus calls us to do, knowing that you will probably fail, but that is what practice is for. We're talking about practice today. This is where we can practice vulnerability so that when we hear about someone who felt hurt by our actions, whether we intended them for that purpose or not, we can be vulnerable and reach out to say we're sorry, and we will try to be more aware next time. We're talking about practice, man. This is where we can practice forgiveness when we've been hurt by others, but also practice safe boundaries for ourselves and practice finding the balance and tension between those two things. We're talking about practice. How do you love someone and still disagree with them? How do you see someone the world has told you is your enemy as the child of God that they are? How do you grow in your patience and kindness, in your mercy and love? You practice. You can't expect to be able to love your enemies if you cannot love the people who go to a different service than you. You need practice. You cannot expect to act with patience and kindness to someone who you don't even know if you can't do that with the person next to you in worship. You need practice. The more you practice here, the more you'll be ready for game time out there, and believe you me, it is different out there. Whereas the kids will say, it hits different. Right, kids? I nailed it, right? No? Got a big thumbs down. All right, well, I'm just gonna edit notes. You wouldn't just decide to jump into a marathon without training or hop on a downhill slalom run without practicing first. This is the same idea. The world is full of people who don't have any emotional investment in who you are. And that makes it extra tough when it comes to treat them with love. Now, will your practice prepare you for every eventuality out there? No. But will it equip you with more tools in your tool belt? You bet. But TC, I hear murmured under breath, that sounds like a lot of work. I just want to come here once a week, get the good word of God to fill me up for the week ahead, and then be out of here in under an hour because I heard TC's preaching this week. Well, allow me to take this good pastor hat off for a moment and put on this bad pastor hat. If that is what you want, Old Orchard Country Club and Rolling Green Country Club are just up the road. Church was not made to be a country club where you pay your dues and hang out with whoever you want to hang out with and get exactly what you want off the menu every time. You know why it sounds like a lot of work? Because it is a lot of work. Jesus didn't say, love your neighbor when you feel like it. Jesus didn't say, forgive your brother 7 times 70 times unless you're like really mad about it and then totally hold that grudge. Jesus didn't say, feed the hungry and give drink to the thirsty unless you're saving up for those new shoes that you just have to have. Jesus said, if any of you wants to become my follower, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's work. We're not here for layback chill times. We're here for work. We're not here to get just feel good fluff. We're here for work. We're not here to just be told that we're good people and we don't even have to try. We are here for work. I'm going to take this hat off now. Now, I know this sounds unpleasant, but stay with me for a minute. When you're training for a sport or a marathon or to have the largest show muscles of any Presbyterian pastor ever, is he looking at me? Getting in a good practice is a lot of work. Running several miles as you practice for a marathon, having a hard practice on the court or the field as you prepare for a game, lifting heavy things over and over and over again, that's work. But it feels good. Maybe not at first. In fact, for the first couple of weeks, it might feel like the worst decision of your life. But after you get used to the work, the practice feels good. You can feel yourself getting stronger, faster, more energetic. You start to see trends that prepare you for game time. Now, don't get me wrong, it is still work and it is hard sometimes. But the work feels good. That's the space that we as a community should be striving for. A space where our work feels good. Where we're constantly working toward bettering ourselves and the community here. Where we lead with love and patience and forgiveness. Where we stretch our grace and our mercy further than we did last week. And this only happens, this is only possible when we're in a community where we know that everyone else is doing this too. Where we know we won't be judged or ostracized when we fail. Because everyone knows that we're all practicing, we're all growing. You see, these things, they have to work together. There has to be buy-in on all levels for this to work. It's only in a community of endless grace and love that we can feel so free to do the hard work of practicing. It is only through practice that we can hone our skills better as to be better Christians in the community and the wider world. It's something that we have to constantly be working towards at the same time. So that is what you signed up for. That is what the church can be at its best, and there are many times when that shines through. And we're able to live up to the communal call. But I hope that we can be that place more. So welcome to the calling that you have chosen. Now get to work, because we're talking about practice. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to learn more about First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, please visit www.firstpresah.org for more information on service times, directions, and to learn more about the First Pres family of faith.